This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
So let's head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Just wrote a great piece about Mike Green, and he joins us now. And Jonas, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So before we get to your piece, just what takeaways, if any, do you have from what you saw yesterday at rookie minicamp?
Not a whole lot. I guess Tyler Loop can kick the heck out of the ball. Dayton Wade is going to probably get us all put up.
Just laughing at Dayton Wade. That's all.
Yeah. I was going to say Dayton Wade is going to be forcing us at one point or another to wonder how we can make this 53 just based off what I saw yesterday. Mike Green looks good without pads on. Carson Vinson looks good without pads on. Disappointing not to see Emory Jones out there. It's way too early to figure out anything. Or really make any leaping judgments, but the guys who you wanted to see do good things at those skill positions, including Tyler Loop, I think made good first impressions. And it's a little bit annoying that we're going to have to wait until the end of the month for OTAs. It seems like this is a much longer wait than normal, but we all got to endure somehow.
We'll get through, Jonas. We'll get through. We can always go find Looper. We can find the Looper's highlights on
YouTube. Hey, the schedule comes out next week.
Yeah, it's May 14th.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a big one. You told us a few weeks back, or I guess it hasn't been a few weeks, but right around the time of the draft that you were going to be endeavoring to reach out to some of the coaches going back to high school and people who knew Mike Green well to try to get a better sense of, I guess this young man and we know the scope of the allegations. We don't know the specifics, and we probably never will know exactly what happened in any of these interactions. But you wrote that piece today at the Banner. You obviously spoke to a volume of people who know him. Were you surprised the length to which people were willing to sort of publicly vouch for him? I read the piece and was kind of thinking there might be something from someone here or there who didn't want this part of their sort of, assessment of him to be on the record and so sort of vociferously on the record. But I mean, these people seem to be relishing the opportunity to stand up and say their truth about this young man.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest takeaway. Not just that the people that I spoke to were as supportive of him, but that they were actually the fact that they reached back out to me when I did reach out to them in the first place. The only guys who I got who I didn't hear back from were the folks at Virginia, and I think that's probably not surprising, because that is the biggest nexus point in all this. Just like they were the ones who reportedly who did request the zero tolerance policy, and those were the guys who either did dismiss him or did suspend him. I think there's still, that was one question that I had from Mike yesterday that we never really got the chance or the opportunity to ask him, like, were you dismissed? Was it just a suspension? Could you have actually come back to Virginia? You know, because he said one thing. I think other people have reported otherwise. But, you know, like Charles Huff, who I spoke to, now the coach of Southern Miss, could have easily, you know, spent the time that he had at the airport when he was talking to me, focusing on building his own program and not just, you know, kind of bootstrapping, you know, not trying to, you know, take credit for what Mike did at Marshall. You know, like that he could have easily just said like, hey, I'm happy for what Mike did, but I'm focused on building my own program at Southern Miss. But he took time, like 15, 20 minutes out of his day to talk to me. The defensive line coach, as soon as I reached out to Marshall, reached back out to me. And then his high school coach, who, yep. you know, again, didn't have any of his football seasons there at Marshall interrupted by these allegations, was, again, more than willing to talk to me and tell me some interesting things about how the Ravens were, in fact, not one of the teams
right,
that reached out to him, which was made you raise your eyebrows a little bit. But again, you know, these guys all love him. They think that he was just a victim of bad circumstances from what they could tell me. So it does match up, I think, with what the Ravens might have, been hearing or gathered during their information drafting process. But again, you also go back to what, you know, Coach Huff told me, which was that there were some teams who right away were not comfortable with the idea of drafting him. And that certainly lines up with what Ian Rappaport reported after the Ravens took him and after so many teams did not take him.
Jonas, I'm sure the Ravens did not take this lightly at all, and they did execute a very thorough breakdown of this situation. But that jumped out to me. You touched on it. The fact that they didn't reach out to his high school coach when the high school coach said he spoke with 12 to 15 teams. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. When I talked to the defensive line coach, he said that he pretty much talked to everyone, so that there wasn't really an inkling that the Ravens would be the one to take him, because if you're talking to everyone, it's really hard to get a read on just who might be interested. When I talked to Coach Huff, he mentioned that he wasn't surprised in retrospect because they were dialed in, I think were his words, with Mike, with getting a sense for who he is, for bringing him in to do a 30 visit. And that was another question I would have liked to have more times, like how many teams actually had you in for 30 mm-hmm. visits, because I don't think any of these teams had actually let it slip that they had him in to their facility. I think it was surprising, especially because the alleged high school incident, because the first incident happened in high school, even if it did happen, toward the end of his high school tenure there. But listen, I mean, like this coach, Coach Lynn, was close enough to Mike Green that after every single, you know, he was joking with me that after every single, either call that he got or visit that he had, he would say, Mike, hey, you got another guy who's this interested in you. So it was surprising that, you know, you would have someone that close to Mike Green and Mike Green's orbit that you wouldn't reach out to him, especially after you said that, you know, we did everything that we could to vet this guy. But again, you know, they have their own process. It's going to be opaque to us. All I can do is just kind of ask around and see who said what. And that was probably one of the more interesting things that I got from the reporting process.
Talking to Jonas Schaefer, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jonas, before we let you go, John Harbaugh informed the media yesterday that Emory Jones has a labrum issue, probably, or hoped to be back by training camp. Are you concerned this could be a redshirt year for Emory Jones?
Not really. I think one thing that we probably should have asked, you know, the Ravens front office folks or the Ravens decision makers, you know, I think Dane Brugler had reported in the Beast, when it came out that this was something that front office folks were expecting to have limit him. I think I believe the date that Dane cited in his reporting was June 2025. So that kind of lines up with where we are in that pre-draft process. Obviously, John is totally comfortable with this being something that they're 100% clear on until he's actually got that green light. So as much as I was looking forward to the possibility of Emory Jones turning these rookie minicamp practices and the OTA practices and maybe turning this into a Saleh situation where a guy comes from out of nowhere, even though obviously it's a different situation with him being a third rounder compared to a sixth rounder. But it's going to make his his rise a little bit more difficult. But I think that John's being pretty earnest with that injury report. And unless there is another injury, or unless they are misinformed about just how serious the shoulder injury is, I do think it's fairly safe to say that he should be back, you know, on the field for the start of training camp in late July.
Gigi lied, as he's apt to
I'm
do.
I'm prone to do
we
that,
have,
yes.
Yes, we have one more. It seemed like to us that Harbs went a little further in detailing the decision-making of the kicking process than he had before, invoking salary cap and alluding to salary and the looming football decisions. And, you know, I don't think it's a great idea to have Tucker in that building competing face-to-face with the Looper, if you really think the Looper is the next man up. Just your takeaways from those comments.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Tyler Loop story coming out tomorrow. You know, just talking to some folks. One of the takeaways that, you know, was, you know, this isn't going to be in a story because it wasn't confirmed in any meaningful way. But, you know, there were some people there was one person who told me, who indicated to me that perhaps a decision has already been made on mm-hmm. Justin Tucker, and mm-hmm. that would line up with perhaps the comments from John Harbaugh. So, not all that surprising that maybe the Ravens are already now laying the groundwork for, you know, the release of
yes.
Justin Tucker, even though obviously everything that Eric DaCosta told us and everything that Tashi Brown told us before then was that they would wait until the investigation is concluded. I mean, Jason, if would they still conclude that investigation even if he's no longer on the team? I mean, I assume that the Ravens or that the NFL would have no reason to you know, suspend that investigation, even if he's
I would think it would continue because I would think he wants to continue, you know what I mean, continue with his career. So yeah. I would imagine that his agents would reach out and say, hey, we want to know his status. Is he a free, you know what I mean? Like, he'd be able to sign with any team, but obviously if that happened, then we'd still get a ruling. I guess if it doesn't happen, if he just sits out there, maybe they would just suspend it. I think, Jonas, it's actually done anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I think they've talked to enough people that if they wanted to have a conclusion, they probably could have a conclusion. But you know how that goes, right? They wait and wait and wait because the media might discover more stuff. So we don't play a game till September. So what's the rush?
Yeah, it's just such an opaque process. And it's just, you know, I've said it to you 5 times, just the breadth of allegations compared. And when you compare that to how long other investigations with far fewer allegations and far fewer accusations, it's just tough for me to get a read on where exactly the NFL is on in their timetable. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the Justin Tucker, and I don't know if that's a good or bad thing for the Ravens.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Coming up next, it's not something we do often, but we have an apology in order. Tamayuki Sagano, he looks legit. We apologize. Next.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on The Fan. The Orioles didn't get a whole lot right this offseason, but one thing it looks like they got right, one thing. Tamayuki Sagano, who has had 4 straight really good starts, 3 of them have been quality starts, including Saturday's 6 innings, 2 earned runs. It looks like they found something in Yuke.
Let's keep this segment between us. This thing hasn't been butchered yet. Let's hope that it never is.
Okay. But you've just drawn attention to it.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Please, stop.
Same.
But protect this one.
But there's no voiceover in it, so it
so
should
we're
be good.
Good?
Yeah, it should be good.
I don't know. Yeah. There isn't some song that references "I'm Sorry" before 1972 replace it with.
If we're going to go inside radio, the point is it's a different voice. There's no voice, so you're good.
So we're good with Michael Stipe.
Yes. Yes.
Something sacred around here.
Yes.
Something sacred.
So Uke.
It's Tomo. Yeah. I'm not calling him Uke.
I call
Bob
him Uke.
Uecker is Uke.
Uke.
He's Tomo.
He's Uke.
He's Tomo. No.
Thank you.
He's you.
Thank you.
And Ben's the authority on
Ben is
on
the authority.
Tomo.
It's
he's not apologizing.
It's Uke, and the rest of the week we puke with that starting
that
rotation.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Look, this guy is presenting himself incredibly well. I wondered how it would look like facing a team, you know, for a second time. I know he did with Toronto, but sort of as he continues to get a little deeper into this, I had concerns at the onset, and for good reason.
Oh, yeah.
It was rough. But having a six pitch mix, I think really, and six pitches that he's learned to throw at least a decent amount and trust to some degree at this level, has been huge for him. And I did not think we'd be sitting here and going into the middle of May, and him to have strung together the quality starts that he strung together, and him to have an ERA of 3. And him to be in the 93rd percentile of all major league pitchers in off-speed run value. And the walk rate I did expect, 84th percentile, that had to happen. I knew he wouldn't get a lot of swing and miss. He hasn't. But he's still getting chase. Like, he's in the 73rd percentile in chase. A lot of that has to do with the off-speed pitches, particularly the splitter that has become a swing and miss pitch for him. But, like, the overall profile, I'll buy. And I think he's also realized that his four-seamer ain't going to play here. And if you go back and look at what he was doing the first couple starts, and then you look now, like the four-seamer has become his third most used pitch, which is a big deal because the league's batting .308 off it and they're slugging .654. So he knows that that's got to be a supplemental pitch. He can't pitch off of it the way he did in Japan. That thing is sitting at 92 miles an hour. So that's, you know, that sort of is what it is. But the split finger has become a dominant pitch for him. And the sweeper has been really good. Like, they were bound to get something right this offseason. And
they got one thing right.
This is a win. For the price point they paid him, this is a win. It does for me beg two questions, though. We couldn't have got a club option on this guy since we got no pitching moving forward. And if they don't clean up their act, dude.
Flip him.
Yeah, you could flip him. You could flip Eflin. Like, you could really reset yourself if you knew what you were doing as a GM. That's a big if. But like him at $13 million, if he keeps this up as a rental, you could get a bleep load for him, I think.
And give him a ton of credit, and really Bubich that too, but he's pitching left-handed against the Orioles. You have nearly an hour rain delay, and he was still able to complete six innings. And he's been so pitch efficient in this stretch outside of the Yankees game where
he
got a ton of swing and miss, which that was very uncharacteristic because he's not getting a ton of that, which has led to him be very pitch efficient. And he's giving them length. He's giving them quality. He's one of those guys right now that you can just pencil in for a quality start. And there's so much value to that given where the starting staff is.
Good on you, Uke.
You
appreciate you. Coming up next, does the streak continue? Bounce back, fall back. Next, here on The Fan.
Jason has won 8 straight. There have been 2 ties as well.
What? Instead of just saying I got a 10-game unbeaten streak, you frame it that way.
No, this is about accuracy. I can't say you've beaten him 10 straight. You haven't.
I've got a 10 straight unbeaten streak.
Unbeaten, yeah.
That's what I said.
You have not lost
in
10 straight bounce. Is that how
put some respect on my name.
I did.
Yeah, young buck.
Let's see if you make it.
You already pissed me off for 30 seconds into this segment.
9 wins.
I'm not pissed off.
A lot of anger in that.
Let's see if you push it to 11 in a row.
I feel
unbeaten.
Good, Bone. I feel good.
I saw Ryan Mountcastle and Heston Kjerstad break their offers prior to this, and this was Thursday. They combined for 2 extra base hits in the series against the Royals. They did not. Ryan Mountcastle had a double on Friday. Jason, you fell back. You had Heston having a double, but he got the point.
I knew I had one double. I thought it was okay.
Ken,
he bounced back.
Yeah. He said Heston has 2 extra base hits.
Yeah.
Kyle Gibson completes 5 innings. He did not. He completed 4. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you had him at 3 innings. Orioles win a second straight series. They did not.
No.
Ken, you bounced back.
Of course I did.
Jason fell back.
It's trending in a direction.
NBA, the Pistons cover the 1.5 against the Knicks. They did not. The Knicks won outright. 116, 113. Ken, you bounce back.
The Knicks went on like a 15-1 run to end the game.
Yes. Yeah.
Jason, you fell back and said Knicks win outright. Clippers.
Brunson at the end, baby.
Yes. Clippers cover the 6.5 against the Nuggets. They did not, barely, 111-105.
Oh, that was game six. Yeah.
Yes. Can you bounce back? Jason, you fell back.
Give me them points, Bone. Give me them points.
The Warriors cover the 5.5 against the Rockets. This was game six. Rockets won outright, 115-107.
I got this one wrong.
Can you bounce back? No. Jason, you fell back.
Oh, because of the points. No, wait.
You said Warriors by 4, so they did not cover. You had them winning.
Right, I had them winning. They got crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't cover the 5.5, so you had the fallback.
Gotcha.
See, you're trying to take
a
point.
Even when I lose, I win.
You're trying to take a point away from you.
At this point, you could take several points away from me. I'm still kicking his ass.
I only have a point
keep it
yet.
Real. Yeah.
No, you do. You do.
You're getting skull dragged.
The Cavs cover the 7.5 against the Pacers. This was yesterday, game one.
They did not.
Went
over 229.
Jason, you fell back. You did have the over, and you said Indiana keeps it within 5. So you had the fallback. Can you bounce back?
Yeah, I didn't know about Darius Garland.
Jason swept the board.
This is your game.
This is unbelievable.
Do you see how we got into this segment, Beltway Ben, with him subjugating my abilities?
It was accurate. All right.
How are you going to frame it now?
Jason 7, Ken 1.
Nice.
It's a beatdown.
It's like a Charlie Morton start.
11. I should probably start playing against Beltway Ben. I think you might. Wait, we need to make a decision.
That's not the way this works.
If this gets to, at what point, if it gets to it, I get to start picking my competitor.
You don't.
20?
Never.
Huh?
Never.
Let's take a vote.
They play me until the end.
20 would be unbelievable.
If I get to 20, I get to call my own shots.
If you get to 20, yes.
I call my own shots. Yes. Now I'm really motivated.
20 would be unbelievable.
I'm burying you, GG. 20 would be something. That'd be like DiMaggio.
I have faith. Ken's brain. Dude, 20
is DiMaggio. It'd be DiMaggio.
All right. This is the game. I feel it for Ken here.
I don't.
Jackson Holiday. He's been
hot.
In fuego. Heading into this twin series, he had the 2 home runs yesterday. Jackson Holiday, Jason, has 2 extra base hits in this twin series.
Bone, this is a big ballpark. I like the way this is going to play for Jackson Holiday, and I hope he doesn't get caught up in the home runs. But he's certainly gap to gap. I think he could do some damage in this ballpark. He's got decent wheels. You're asking me 2 extra base
hits? 2 extra base hits.
In the series.
In the series.
I'm going to say... Say he has 2 extra base hits in this series.
Okay. 2 extra base hits. Ken?
I'm gonna agree. I think Jackson Holiday's in great vein of form right now. I expect him to get a couple extra
bases. It's kind of like me playing this game.
Yes, he is the you.
Jackson Holiday to hitting a baseball is like me to dominating bounce back fallback.
Ryan O'Hearn is also very, very hot. He homered yesterday. Ken? He homers in this twin series.
Oh, give me that one. Bounce. By the way, his opposite field pair, he almost had a second homer yesterday. Yeah. I'll bounce back.
Just looking a little. See what he does against old Pablo Lopez. Yeah, Bone, I'm liking this.
Okay, bounce back.
Bone, I'm going to say he has 3 extra base hits in the series.
3 extra base hits.
2 home runs.
Mean Dean.
So that's a bounce back. 2 home runs.
Okay. Correct. Mean Dean. Calendar's no longer in April.
It's May.
It is May. Mean Dean. He had 7 shutout on Friday. Mean Dean delivers another quality start in this series. Jason.
Consistency is not Mean Dean's forte.
No.
Mean Dean's riding a little high on the hog right now.
Yes.
This is not a great Twins lineup. You're saying it has to qualify as a
quality start. Quality start. Yes.
I don't think Mean Dean's getting a 6 innings pitch.
Does not complete 6. Ken?
Yeah, I hate to agree with Jason, but the last thing I think of when I think of Dean Kramer is consistency, so I'm going to fall back.
We're about to get into Coby Mayo in the next segment. I'm going to point this out from last year. Coby Mayo started his first 3 games. After that point, he started back-to-back games once. This was last season, of course. Coby Mayo starts 2 of these 3 games in this series. They are facing all righties.
All righties.
Ken.
Mm. He should, but will he? I'm going to fall back.
As a fallback, okay.
He gets one start, Bone.
That is a fallback, one start. And then let's get into...
They can't help themselves.
No, they can't. Let's get into the NBA. Celtics cover the 9.5 against the Knicks. Jason.
The New York Knicks are 2-14 against the spread against top six NBA teams. Teams that finish in the top six of the overall standings. They're 2-14 against the spread.
Not good.
Now, one of those wins was against the Celtics, but it was very late in the year. Game meant nothing for the Celtics. The other games head-to-head, the Celtics won, I believe, by 27, 23, and 14 points.
Yeah, it was blowouts.
I think this is a five-game series at best, Bone, and I think the beatdown starts tonight with the Celtics.
What's the number?
9.5.
Celtics win this game, Bone, by 15.
Whoa. Yeah. Celtics win by 15.
Tatum goes for 35.
Oh. Knicks have shown, if they've shown one thing, they've shown to be frauds against the best teams in the NBA. Celtics cover. I'll bounce back.
Okay. OKC. The Thunder taking on the Nuggets. Thunder are 9.5 point favorites. Ken, Thunder cover.
I'm going to bounce back.
Okay, Ken, bounce back.
Are we disagreeing on anything?
You don't have a disagreement.
Yeah, well, Ball, I'm not. Look, my favorite bet on this game tonight is over the OKC team total. I'm 28-12 on my last 40 NBA team totals. You can still find it at 116.5 out there. My only concern here, Bonus, is a long layoff for OKC, but man, they play a great pace. They're so deep. They're so good. SGA was not good the last series. He'll be great in this series. And I think Denver's a little spent from going 7 against the Clippers. So when it's all said and done, the Thunder win this game by 12 points or more, Bone.
That is a bounce.
How many questions left, Bone?
Win by 12. I got two.
Okay.
Cavs cover the 10.5 against the Pacers tomorrow, Jason.
I think this will be another high-scoring game. I'm already on the over at 229.5. Bone, that's a big number for me. The Pacers can score. The Cavs won't go 8-for-40 from three-point land again. But I think this is a two-possession game. I think the Cavs win, but I think they win by like five.
Cavs win by five.
Yeah, Darius Garland's toe worries me. And now it sounds like DeAndre Hunter's got a dislocated thumb on his shooting hand. Screw it. Bounce back.
Yeah. And lastly, Timberwolves cover the 6.5 against the Warriors.
I think the Timberwolves are a horrible matchup for Golden State. I'm going to bounce back on that. And plus, they've been there before, whereas who they play? Houston had not. And they did not meet the moment.
Yeah, this is a bad matchup. I think it's another five-game series win in this case for the Wolves. I think the Wolves win this game by double digits.
All right.
So just one disagreement.
It's coming down. That'll tell the tale. It's all down to Cavs game two. Yeah.
That will tell the tale. Coming up next, Coby Mayo is back. What is the plan? It's all the young dudes next here on The Fan.
Just going to kind of play it a little bit by ear. Let me give Mayo a little bit of opportunity. I started him today. I came in late last night. That's why I didn't play last night. But kind of pick my matchup a little bit until we get Urias and Wesley back.
So Coby Mayo was recalled. Ramon Urias had a hamstring twinge. He's been put on the IL. Coby Mayo limited bats. He's 0 for his first five with a walk and two strikeouts. Now that he's here, what do you think the plan is for Coby Mayo?
Is it fair to say I don't think there is a plan?
I think you're
based on how it was being used in Norfolk, is it fair for me to say there isn't a plan? And is it also fair for me to say if you keep running him out there at third base where we all know he's not comfortable, it's probably not going to help him in the plate either. Now, I'm not saying he's super comfortable at first because you barely played him there, even though you should have been playing him there for years. But, like, it's very, very early. But, boy, if this doesn't feel like picking up where we left off the last time he got here sort of as a last-case scenario after they blew the trade deadline and started playing him, I didn't have great initial vibes, and I don't know that they're going to set him up to succeed.
Well, that's my worry. Is he going to get consistent playing time to be able to get going at the plate? Because, again, last year, He started his first three games when he got called up. After that point, he only started back-to-back games once. And obviously, it was really rough seeing him at the plate, and it was rough seeing him at third base. I'm not sure what the plan is going to be either.
Yeah, so if it were me, and I'm an idiot, but I think Ryan Mountcastle stinks, I'd play him at first base against, and let it.
But no, he's hardly played there, so there is that. I mean, it's an easier position, no doubt about it.
But I bet he's going to be better there than a third, and you got him here, so you might as well, or if you want, DH him against left. Like, but I'd have him in the lineup every day. You got him here. He's hitting. Like, he's comfortable. He's been hitting the crap out of the ball at AAA. Well, he's feeling good about himself. Let him play. See what it looks like. But they won't do that.
I don't think they're going to do it.
No, they won't. Because they don't.
I think they're going to look at this, you know, and we know they do all their planning ahead of time. They've been preparing for this series since last week.
Well, they knew Ramon was going to get hurt. Yeah. And it's temporary.
Whether they knew that or not.
No,
you
they
know
did.
That
they
they're setting
it.
The lineups before. So they had already come up with one plan for the Twins that didn't involve him. And again, you're getting their three best starters, but there's probably one of those pitchers who they look at the profile and say, we think he could do better against him. Rivera has given them professional at-bats. Like, Rivera, even last year, gave them professional at-bats. And, like, when could O'Neill be back?
But that's the question. Ken, you said this earlier with Westberg. He was warming up.
He'll be back in the 10 days.
Yeah, and when Westberg's off the IL, does Mayo go right back down at that point?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
Hopefully you go down to play first base.
Yeah, but they won't do that.
Yeah. Well, and some of this will depend on how much he plays and then... How much
he hits.
Is the defense? Well, and also how much is the defense an issue when he plays? But after things went so poorly last year, I would think if you were going to decide to make this decision, that you would be able to call him up and tell him, here's the plan. Not the baseball gods, not these things sort themselves out, but hey, this is what we're going to do to try to put you in the best positions to succeed and give him that information ahead of time so he knows what he's walking into. I suspect that probably didn't happen, but maybe it did.
Yeah, especially if he's only going to be here for 10 days or whatever it's going to be, and if he wasn't going to get consistent playing time, then what the heck was the point?
I preface by saying some of this is on the kid, but they've never given him a situation where he's comfortable. And he's probably got to know with Westberg on the horizon and Ramon, at least they're saying outwardly that he's short-term, like he's got to kill it while he's here to stay. So that puts more pressure on him offensively to kill it while he's here. And so if he scuffles, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where he goes back down in 10 days.
And that's sort of what happened with spring training, too, where he
he knew he had no chance
exactly.
to make the team.
He was pressing that was, at the beginning.
Yeah, and then he said what he said, which if I don't think he has to walk that back.
No,
I mean, I know somebody made him think he had to walk that back. But, like, it's the big leagues. I mean, people should be emotional. Like, this should be... you shouldn't want a whole bunch of dudes who just are choir boys and, you know, whistle their way through everything and whistle when they work and hit each other with lifesavers or what are they called?
Lightsabers. Star Wars.
Yeah. Did you
say
lifesaver?
I don't know. Lightsabers.
Lightsabers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big Star Wars guy.
So we'll see. I think the kid will get hosed, but we'll see.
Coming up next, we'll talk some O's. We'll talk some Ravens. Cordell Woodland, he was out there with Beltway Ben for rookie minicamp. We'll get his thoughts on that and the Orioles. Cordell joins us next here on The Fan.